Thank you, Hanan. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you for having me. Vectors are basically transmitting pathogens to living organisms, either in the form of a parasite, as a virus, or as a bacteria. From the Caribbean, we are organisms, and the thing about it, so I got to slow down. So excuse me a little bit. I got to remember to slow down. So they basically transmit disease to living organisms. And the method with they can be enveloped or non-enveloped. They can be single-stranded or double-stranded. Important thing is that they will get a link to our cytoplasm in the cell. And that is where it causes issues with transmission of diseases. So vectors can be from an animal, from an insect, like mosquitoes, we have the ticks, we have the bats, we have all of the different animals from jungle forests that can transmit disease to the public. When they link onto the cytoplasm, they will develop biomarker of that particular pathogen within ourselves and be able to transmit it to others. So I'm working a lot with mosquitoes, and I work a lot with other conditions while I was in the Caribbean. But here now I'm working a lot with mosquitoes. And what mosquitoes do is they're arthropods. They will take blood. They have to survive by using blood and fruit, nectar and fruit juice. But the important thing to continue development of their cycle, they need blood. So they're going to take blood from a human being or a bird or an animal, and they are going to infect a human, that long little beak that they have in there. But the thing about it, the trick about the proboscis, if you look at the structure of the proboscis, it's like a whole mechanism that they insert that proboscis, there's a seize, they regurgitate blood from whatever they have in their system, and then they suck up fresh blood. If it's infected from the host, what happens is whatever they regurgitate, if it's infected, is going to those vectors and the pathogen that they transmit and build enough resistance. The trick about those, find an area where they have water in order to continue the life cycle, similar to the virus, any other virus or bacteria or pathogen. Now, our system have been bombarded over the years, so many years. We have gotten STDs. We have gotten gastroenteritis conditions. We have been bombarded over the years. So our body is actually struggling to survive in its current environment. With the conditions and the changes in environment, temperature, humidity, ultraviolet, violet light, salinity, pH, our body cannot take too much more bombardment. So when we think of, because we're getting older, we are getting sicker. But we look at the younger generation getting sick also as we are older, getting sicker. Because our bodies have not developed that. Ask our body, hey, can you handle this? Apart from the pathogen, I'm going to throw in an environmental factor. I'm going through temperature, humidity changes. I'm going through some habitat difference. I'm going to impact you to what your life and living and based on what you eat and what you drink. And I'm going to decide whether I'm going to infect you to what level. And I'm going to infect the population to based on what, on how much I can resist or they can resist that vector. So vectors are important. And we see, not just from the mosquito standpoint, but we see from other vectors, which are from basically the animal kingdom, carrying so much virus, because the epizootic cycle where they transmit between them is shortening, because a synergistic effect, basically, in terms of one animal having one particular disease and now he can transmit another one. And because of that, we go play with our dog that ran through the forest, because there's no longer forest, because we deforestation, because we want to build and we want to have more development to survive, for a population to have areas to live and survive. And we find, okay, he comes back with a tick, and that tick probably is infected, and it bit one of us, and one of us got sick, and then we have a cycle going through. And parasites are getting smarter. It's a vicious cycle. currently, and we're looking at our immersion, the human population, and it's because we are getting basically weaker in terms of combating those viruses, and that's the whole process and how it works. One of the most prolific vector-borne diseases currently. We have maybe 830,000 people dying from mosquitoes a year. Dengue is not too debilitating in terms of mortality, but in terms of morbidity, in terms of environmental and environmental impact and the burden on health and the economic burden, and just a debilitating effect of dengue and how it impacts the human being, because we call it the breakbone fever, stemmed from me getting dengue at 17 in the Caribbean. And because there was not enough information on how to handle, survive that condition, and you look at it, this is a condition, and the thing about dengue is that it is transmitted by the Aedes aegypti mosquito. Aedes aegypti, Aedes albopictus. And this mosquito is interesting because she can survive and adapt. And she has started adapting to environmental conditions. So she has started moving. And because of we have globalization, we have urbanization. I can move, I can live here now and be in Paris tonight. And if I'm transmitting, if I have dengue, I can transmit that on the other side of the globe. But you have the movement of the Aedes aegypti mosquito that now not only living in the tropics, in the tropical and subtropical continent, but it can move into the other areas and overwinter. And this is April, and the temperature in Houston should be lower than it is currently. I had 80 yesterday. It should have been in the 60s or somewhere around the area. We have that change in environmental conditions because of the warming of the earth surface. Those mosquitoes can be... We have some rain along with it, some water along with it. We have the propagation of not have that high amount of mosquitoes. So people are crazy and people are crying right now that we have mosquitoes when we should not have that particular mosquitoes going on. So dengue is going to be is one of the diseases that we have to pay particular attention to, because we are going to see it in areas where we have never seen it before, because the temperature in those areas are different. The time factor for development of the disease. Well, normally when I worked there as a public health for 17 years, a public health inspector, in June I will start public education, because I expect dengue to start hitting the area within June. Cool. January, February, March, April, May, or April, the temperature is so cool. Or should be. Now it's not anymore. Then if I start seeing Aedes aegypti coming out in June, by the time they build enough viremia to infect somebody with dengue, I'm in September, October, when it's cool again. So they don't have that period of development of the extrinsic period of higher temperatures. So, but this is changing. Environmental conditions have moved and have changed the whole process, that we are being hot everywhere. So we're going to look out for that condition in the future. Hence the study and the prediction, because it's... globalization has changed it, the movement of the species, and there's the availability of the environmental conditions for development of the virus. Yeah. I did with Jeff Goddard on Rolling Stones. We walked through some of the communities, and I particularly was showing the areas of high. The thing about it is, by environmental conditions, by policies, by just being able to survive and live in those areas. You have those communities are more impacted by diabetes, hypertension, as with less amenities, ability to survive food, water, and those things going. And we needed food, water, clothing, as temperature conditions change. Heat impact these individuals more than the other areas. If you look at some homes, I can walk you now to some areas in city of Houston that is without the air condition. They might have a window unit, just might just be just the living room, and some homes with none at all. And they'll be able to combat the temperature, the rising temperature that's going on. Now, this put a mental stress. This put a physical stress on the body, on the individual. And mentally, even more struggling, because it's, I am unable to get to that level. I'm able to get over there. But if I cross the street, if I go across the street or across the freeway, compared to what I am living in across the freeway on the other side. So marginalization is there. It has been existing. It's still there. It is increasing because of changes to the of reduction of health to paid. We speak about it. A lot of us speak about it. But how much do we? How much is done about it? And we talk about the disenfranchised. We talk about the change or changing to reporting on those dealing with other aspects. But like I said, we speak about them, but we don't do too much enough about them. And it comes from the top down.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point and kind of leads into my next question, which is for anyone that would like to answer on the panel. Communication between scientists and journalists is a really big part of reporting on COVID, reporting on climate change. You know, from a journalist side, hear from all of you, you know, from the journalism side, from the science.
So my thought along this line is from being in public health for 37 years. And I did a lot of work with journalists reporting. I did some of it myself. And is for the journalists to get connected to a subject matter expert in the field. There are a lot of folks who are in public health but specialize in maybe one particular section. Like I did in public health. In public health, I find somebody in the community who basically knows the community, and I approach that individual as my and as the main snitch in the community. but this is where you get the truth of the community, of the area, what is going on, and that's how you can get research field and get true information. So a lot of times we in the research field want to project our topic, project our idea out there, and we're happy when a journalist pick up and say, oh, Dr. Max is talking about glass of water, and then, oh, this is where that glass of water is in order to get that information. So I'm going to forget all the statistics, and in my presentations, I usually forget all those 300 million people that's infected by dengue fever. I want to know how it impacts the population, how it impacts the public, and what can be done to mitigate that issue, to break it down to a different level. That information out from those areas. And as the temporal conditions increase, temperature rises, level water rises, what do we do within the community? Who am I going to talk to? If I'm going to talk to the guy who just deals with the machine, he's going to give me a story because he wants to talk about the machine. But I want to deal with the individual. So one of the things which I do in public health, and I would advise journalists to do, get to the source, get to somebody, or have somebody you know, befriend information, or direct you to someone, some colleague that will assist in getting that information out and bring the story out. We have to piggyback on stories, but we need to have our own facts to bring the stories out.
Thank you. Yes, everyone should get themselves a snitch. Do some audience questions, even though I could sit up here and ask you all questions. I'm supposed to tell you to introduce yourself and be brief.
Kathy Kowalski, I understand.
So I would first say is education on the topic. Understanding, or in the science, you're dealing with different viruses, different diseases. In terms of this is part, in terms of the climate change, as a public health, as an environmental health officer, or understanding of the process. So there's a dentist, and all he does, he knows how to extract, and he doesn't go into a continued training of how to put a crown or how to mold how do you call them when they put that drill in the mouth and put an extra external tooth. if he doesn't go into that science and understand the process, he will always be an extractor, right? But if he comes and gives you information on that science and he knows nothing about it, he cannot help you. So you have to understand the different processes. You have to stay alert. You have to stay updated. You have to stay involved and understand the different. And the thing about it is reading. Everybody has something else to come up with. But there's a bombardment of papers. And some of them always say, well, why are you on the phone? Well, I'm on the phone because I'm reading a paper. Up at 2 o'clock in the morning reading. And why am I reading at 2 o'clock when I should be in bed? Well, I'm going to read because I have to add something to the research or know or get information about something that somebody spoke about. That's how I approach it. So you directly mentioned the county. And one of the areas that we're considering from the Department of Harris County Public Health section is on the social vulnerability index, understanding what is going on out there in the environment, approaching that with an open mind and how we could make a difference to bring us to the level of the other side of the sector. In terms of the adjustment on climate change and the difference that they bring through, it comes from the level upwards that say, these are the things that we're going to do. And I want you guys to do this to bridge that gap is a long road. And you find that other for us to understand what is being done or what have been done, the reporting have to come from that direction, not from the other side where the story is being told, but from the side where the action is being taken. And the only way you're going to see what action is being taken to make a difference is by getting in there and reporting that information. A lot of folks don't want to do that because it takes more time to get information from that area. And like I said, get an informant, get a snitch, understand in the area what is going on over there that I can report and I can change instead of piggybacking on something that is being spoken about by everyone. Because at the time of an incident, you see everybody go to the same section and everybody report the same thing on the television or the radio. But what about I going in this area and get that information about what's going on and then report a different aspect? Well, that one's a little bit above me in terms of giving you the direct information and direct answer onto this. But I know from the public health standpoint that it is trickling down from our level, from my level at the public health aspect. We're making changes in how we collect information. We're making changes in how we disseminate that information from my standpoint, from my level. You understand where I'm coming from, right? Yeah. So what I will do from that aspect, from the Harris County Mosquito Vector Control section, is get that information from the superiors, say where we have the funding for this, and make changes into how I 6, right? 4.2, 4.6 million people in Harris County. How many chaplain population per year in order to get a snapshot of the disease distribution in that population? How many traps we set in the lower socioeconomic areas to impact these individuals with activity that we conduct over there to keep these individuals comfortable? Because the guy who's living in the high rise in AC doesn't have to worry about it. Mosquitoes coming to his house. It's a guy who's over there with no mosquito netting, he got to keep his windows open to get. Okay, what am we going to do to help him improve his environmental condition based on what is available at the time? Yeah, I'm talking about the One Health, and happy you brought this up because Harris County is involved in that One Health program. I think we have a conference coming up on that, and that is connecting all the dots in the different areas, and it's working out perfect. I'm glad you mentioned.
It's a really interesting methodology.
Yes, it is.
Yes, Annie, I think you were going
to. So one of the things that happened within that whole standpoint, the cutoff of refusing to continue an individual drop-off. Another thing that's linking to this is How are we going to bridge that gap? We can bridge that gap by understanding, drawing the connection between the factors in terms of who's going to report what. And not like the reporter, dwell on what is the current hot topic, but actually bring out a hot topic from the current events and bring something out that will make a change and show that area. With the linking of COVID, people didn't believe or didn't understand the process of a virus. Even currently, how the virus mutates within the system conditions. Normally, we would expect a virus to be knocked out when it's hot or when it's cold, produce and transmit within an individual, another one gets sick and another one gets sick, and it develops along the way. So reporting and connecting that information and one of the things with a stick. 7 days later, I go back and I get tested. I'm counted again as another positive, not as this 5,000 plus, still positive. So we have another number added to the 5,000 that gives 5,000 plus one. We're actually, I'm in this 5,000. And because I tested positive again, I'm counted in the same 5,000 plus one. So it reporting and collecting that data to understand what's going on. So that linkage is important so we could see what is happening in the environment, who's reporting what, how we understand the different diseases. And the next wave is going to come and something else, but we have to believe that it can happen. And it will happen again with the other virus, with other parasite or any other vector that's connection to say, this is going to happen here again. Not it's going to happen over there, but it might happen here again. And start working on how we're going to prevent this, and these are the lessons we're going to learn for this. What are we going to do to control this? How are we going to get people to believe that this vaccine was developed? That's why we go. We take the dengue vaccine before we go. We take the something for malaria. We can't travel if we don't have a yellow fever vaccine. What did they do in 18, whenever that they developed that one, and say, right, this is what against rabies, and we still use that same one against rabies up to now, because we believe that it is helping to develop, to mitigate the virus and prevent the spread. But that is where the problem is, the belief and the cross. The belief must cross and connect between the science, the politician, and the public health individuals. There must be the connection with the belief.